Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, February 5th, 2016. And with me today, I have John Martellaro. How's it going, John?
It's going good. Great to be here.
It's awesome to have you on the show today. And Dave Hamilton, I hope you're doing well.
I am doing well. It's actually, we've got probably about 6 inches of snow here on the ground, and it looks gorgeous outside. So,
oh, that's fantastic.
Hopefully the trees stay up and the power lines stay up during the call and onward. But otherwise, yeah.
But at least through the call.
I would prefer onward as well.
Sure, I get that. Yep. and now I know where the snow that I was expecting here last night went. It went to you. But that's okay. I didn't need more snow. I still have at least a foot outside my place. So, hey, happy holidays.
Yeah. Happy holidays. There you go.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of holidays, because I'm sure for some people this really is, the Super Bowl, the big football game, is happening this Sunday. And I, by chance, as I was going to look for another app this morning in the iTunes store, saw this big banner for CBS Sports app saying that you could download it for free and then use it for free to watch the Super Bowl on your iPhone, your iPad, or your Apple TV. So no need for a cable subscription or anything. You just download the app, and now you watch the Super Bowl.
And it's important to note, you watch the Super Bowl live.
Oh, right.
Not time delayed. There might be some delay,
like seconds, maybe.
Yeah, a technology imposed delay, not a intentionally imposed delay. Yeah,
right.
That's a big deal. This is, because, for cord cutters, sports is the last holdout, right? People used to say sports and news, but let's face it, much better off getting news on the web, right? That's there. That's done. So it's sports, and it's not even all sports, because a lot of sports already are streaming you stuff if you pay them, and that's fine to pay them. The NFL is the last big holdout. And, this isn't everything, but it's things moving. And
it's also
like
kind
that.
Of a big thing. It's I see it as
a big thing. Big thing. Yeah.
Now, just for full disclosure, I'm really not interested in spectator sports. And while so many people get really excited to watch the Super Bowl, I didn't even realize it was happening until a couple days ago.
Sure.
So that shows you just how interested in spectator sports I am.
Worth stating that many people are not interested in football throughout the season,
but they will still watch the Super Bowl.
Correct.
Yeah. And but even with
it's party time, you got the commercials, you got the food, you got the friends, you got the big screen. It's a party.
It's a party. Yeah. And I still saw this as a big thing, even though I probably won't be watching the Super Bowl this Sunday, because I looked at this and I was like, wow, this is like CBS essentially thumbing their nose at the cable companies and saying, we're taking this what I'm assuming is a multi-billion dollar event.
And for 5 million for 30 seconds, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're saying, yeah, we're just going to stream it however we want.
Well, they've got the contracts in place, and the advertisers are all signed up, and the money has been paid, and the show is going to go on. So this cable, this Apple TV presentation or your phone is just incremental viewership, right? They'll log it. They'll know who's watching.
But it's not incremental. And that's always been the issue, right?
Well, yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. They'll log all these extra viewers and say, hey, cool.
Well, but they're not necessarily extras, is my point. You know, if you have a cable subscription, you can either watch it on that or on your, Apple TV or iPad or iPhone, whatever it is, or even your Mac. Mm-hmm. And that's been the issue. I get that there will be people that watch it that are incremental, but not all of them will be incremental, is what I'm saying. And that's the issue, right, is the people that could watch it on cable that watch it this other way, that's the reason that all these other football games throughout the season are blocked, right? Because there's all these agreements in place and the local networks get their piece of the pie. And if suddenly it's being streamed, they don't get their piece of the pie. And then there's the whole blackout thing. If the stadium's not sold out enough, then you can't even see it locally. It's an antiquated system, to be frank. Even the blackouts are an antiquated system because the experience of sitting on your couch and watching a football game, it's very, very different than being in the stadium. And I can't imagine there are that many people that would say, well, if it's not on TV, I should drive to the stadium and sit in the cold and watch a football game, right? I mean, it's not that there's anything wrong with the latter. I just don't think people are going to say, to choose that because it's not on TV. There's other reasons they'll choose to go to the stadium and watch the game or not. But anyway, it's part of this. It's a different thing, but it's part of this. It's just
heaven
crazy.
Knows here in wintry Denver, the Broncos stadium is sold out for, I don't know, 20 years in a row.
Yeah, and we're sold, you know, we're in Patriots country here, so we have no blackouts on TV because it's sold out. Yeah. In fact, yeah. We've been on the waiting list for Patriots season tickets since we moved to New Hampshire 10 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, we knew it would take a long time. It actually gets us presale access to concerts at Gillette Stadium and some other benefits just being on the wait list. So I'm not sure if we'll actually buy tickets when we're given the opportunity. It depends on.
So who are you rooting for in the Super Bowl, Dave?
Who am I rooting for?
The team that knocked your Patriots out of the playoffs?
Yeah, or? You know, there's this problem being a Patriots fan that that generally people tend to hate Peyton Manning. And my wife is certainly amongst them. But I hope that Peyton wins, and because I think it's probably going to be his last football game of his professional career. And
okay. So which team is he on?
Oh, he's on the Denver Broncos.
Okay.
So that's you guys in Colorado. Yeah.
Okay. Does that show you just how closely I follow this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know about the Patriots because we watch them. I don't really know a whole lot about the other team. So I really have no allegiance to either one of the other teams. And honestly, other than the Broncos, I can't remember who they're playing.
Well, yeah, I knew the Broncos were playing because that's a big thing on Twitter for my local people.
Carolina Panthers.
The Panthers. Yeah, see, that's not even a team, right? I mean, that wasn't a team when I was a kid. Right, that's new. The Panthers are one of the
Carolina
add-ons.
Panthers. That sounds to me like
they've been around
college
for a while,
name.
But they're not one of the original NFC teams.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I see this as a big thing for sports fans looking for excuses to cut their cable. And I don't see this as the tipping point, but I see this as a turning point. And my guess is that if CBS can do this with the Super Bowl, they will start working on getting contracts changed so that they can do this with more games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Carolina Panthers are 22 years old, so I should retract my comment about them not being a real team.
they've done their time. They can be a real team now.
Might actually win.
Actually, Dave, 22 years is rather young in the history of the National Football League.
Yeah. I just don't pay a whole lot of attention. But I'll watch the game on Sunday, I think.
I probably won't.
Yeah. The problem with Super Bowls is, because of the commercials and all of the other stuff that's going on, the game moves so slowly. So I might actually put it on the DVR, you know, which it would be. And, you know, we've got one of the new TiVo Bolts now, which has this quick mode that goes about 30% faster than real time. And it's not terrible for watching sports. Once you get used to it, you know, you kind of have to let your mind adjust and then you're fine. So maybe we'll do it that way. I don't know.
I have a confession.
Mm-hmm.
During the season, when I get busy, I record the Broncos games on the DVR. And if they lose, I delete it. If they win, I watch it.
So, see, that's interesting. When I record on the DVR, I like it becomes, and it's the whole house is like this, but mostly just because of Lisa and I, the kids don't care. We become militant about not checking social media, you know, we're very careful. If we answer the phone, we tell people we don't know what the score of the Pats game. Don't tell us, you know, we want to watch it and have it revealed to us as we watch it. But often that's later. Yeah. And it's really difficult because most of the time, the reason we can't watch the game live is because we're at one of my son's hockey games. And if they don't have TVs in the lobby of the rink, which they usually do, somebody's streaming it on their phone, like while we're watching the kids. So it's usually difficult, but, that's interesting. You're the opposite. You want to know the result and then watch the game.
Right. Because if the Broncos lose, it's a waste of 3.5 hours to sit there in misery.
But if you know they're going to win, does it, I mean, it must change the, you certainly don't get the excitement factor. You're just watching a team and you know the end result.
Well, I enjoy the process.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And Dave, I'm with you on wanting the surprise. And I have a pattern. You can tell when there's a new Doctor Who episode out because I'm off social media until it's available on iTunes. I watch it and then I'm back on social media again.
Totally makes sense. I get it. But I've never, anytime I find out the score of the game ahead of time, which happens, you know, several times a season because it's just impossible to avoid, then I'll like half watch the game or whatever. But you're right. I mean, there's still some enjoyment to get out of it, John.
You know what's really interesting? I've been watching the TV commercials from these companies that sell 4K TVs. And I don't want to mention them by name, and I can't remember them all anyway. But they're being very delicate as they dance around this. Get a new big screen TV for the game, you know, and then they advertise the UHD TVs and all the good prices on 4K. But left drop between the lines is that the Super Bowl isn't being broadcast in 4K. But
it's
they
not
don't
even
say 1080. That. They don't say that. It might well be 720p.
Who is it on?
I don't know.
It's on CBS.
It's on CBS.
CBS is 1080i, to my knowledge.
Yeah.
And Fox is the only one that does 720p.
Right.
But you might get 1080p if you stream it from your Apple TV.
You might well do that.
So that might actually be a better way to watch it.
That's a good point.
Yeah, so it took us 15 minutes, folks, but we got to the end.
Yeah, there we go. That's awesome. All right. Well, that's such a high note for that. I think we should just move on now and talk about something, John, that's bothering you. And this is the current state of Time Machine.
Yeah, this is a very delicate and very nuanced issue. Like a lot of technical issues, there is no blunt, clear-cut answer, 1-0, black-white. But what I've noticed and what came to my mind recently is that there's been a lot of articles in recent history about how to do backups. Every year when we have a new operating system come out, OS 10, El Capitan, we talk about doing clean installs. I wrote an article myself about it. And about how you should, you know, very carefully back up your system. And all of the tech writers I have seen delicately and politically correctly point out, well, you shouldn't depend on Time Machine by itself completely. It needs to be supplemented. It can be quirky. People have been known to have problems with it. And to be rigorously sure that you've got a good backup, you should supplement it with, you know, Carbon Copy Cloner or some of the other apps. Data Backup 3 from ProSoft or something, because, and here's the indictment, Time Machine isn't good enough for it to be your go-to, standalone, ultimately reliable, all-encompassing, capable backup that you can have complete trust in. It doesn't have that track record. And for Time Machine to have been out for 10 years and Apple not to have migrated the user base to a higher level, to have made it more robust, to giving you the ability to back up not just the internal boot drive, but other drives that are attached to your Mac. The ability to, in some fashion, do some sort of integrity check that gives you a warm, fuzzy. I mentioned in the article, you know, some of the things that it could improve upon. But instead, it's basically the same, except for a while back they added encrypted backups. But it's basically the same product it's always been. And Apple has this mentality, it seems to me, like it's good enough for most people. You know, most of the time it works. It's brilliant. People like it. It's easy to use. We're done. But then you have all these other companies that come along and say, well, if you want something better, we're more robust, more capable, more flexible, then you should supplement it. And writers always mention this in their articles. Don't trust Time Machine by itself. And I think this is kind of an indictment of Apple after all these years.
I agree with you, but I'd like to split the issue, because having multiple backups, even if every single one of them is reliable, is still important.
Oh, sure.
I firmly believe that.
Oh, yeah. That's why it's such a nuanced issue.
It is a nuanced issue. Right. Because even if Time Machine worked perfectly and was perfectly reliable, you'd still want Time Machine and an offsite backup, and probably also a local clone, right? So you could boot and restore to work just fine. That said, Time Machine is, I don't rely on it. I let it back my stuff up because I have enough storage that I can essentially throw storage at it and it doesn't cost me any extra. And when I need to restore something, it is often the first place I check, because the user interface is very simple. Mm-hmm. And if the data comes up in time and it's there, then it's great. Mm-hmm. But I certainly don't rely on it to have anything. In fact, my assumption is that my Time Machine backups will not be there when I need them.
And that assumption is what's critical here.
That's right.
Coming from Apple and having a product that's 10 years old and still at version 1.3, that's kind of an issue.
Well, and here's the problem. You know, Time Machine can be used in two ways. The first way is when you have a direct connected external disk, or you could use it with an internal drive too. But a second partition that you back Time Machine up to, but it's local.
Okay.
And Time Machine backs up to a folder that way, right? It creates a folder, it backs up to it. That's actually fairly reliable. Where there are problems is when Time Machine backs up over the network, either to a time capsule or to something else. Honestly, backing up to a time capsule seems worse than backing up elsewhere, but they all have the same potential issue, and that is, Time Machine doesn't know the format of the device you're backing up to, because, you know, you're backing up to something, and when you back up over the network, all it's not doing anything intelligent. It's just writing files. It's essentially saying, I want to write to that drive over there. And to do that, it creates a disk image so that Time Machine can do all of its crazy formatting things. Time Machine relies on hard links and pointers to files and things that are not unique, but inherent to HFS Plus. Mm-hmm. And so it needs to know that it's backing up to HFS Plus, and that's an important thing. So it creates an HFS Plus disk image on whatever drive it's writing to over the network, and then fills that with the same folder that it would fill your local HFS Plus disk with. It's that additional layer of the disk image combined with the additional layer of the network between them. And sometimes networks are, you know, flaky, sometimes they're slow, sometimes they're intermittent, right? Those two things are the root of these problems. Now, that's not to excuse Apple, that's just to point out what the difference is. Because if you want Time Machine to be reliable, you can have a much greater chance of that happening if you back up to a direct connected disk. And but I've said for years that Apple could and should make, especially the time capsule. I mean, they have a device. It's not even that they're saying, just go back up to some network storage. They're saying, buy our network storage device that's built for this and named the same thing so that you can do it. And the problem is they aren't putting any smarts in the time capsule. What they should do is something along the lines of a crash plan client server model, where the time capsule runs a Time Machine server, which doesn't exist. Well, it actually sort of does. Not really. No, it doesn't. But yeah, it certainly doesn't exist in the time capsule. It kind of does with the OS X server, but not in the right way anyway. It should be a true backup server where the time capsule is the thing managing the backup store. And all that's happening from the client computers is them saying, here's this file. You write it, you put it wherever you're supposed to put it, you manage the versioning, you manage right now, if your Time Machine backup gets full, it has to prune things. What's doing the pruning? Your Mac is. Mm-hmm. From across the network. That's stupid. There's a CPU in your time capsule. Why is it not doing that pruning? Why is it up to your Mac to have to be online with network traffic, with the unreliability of, you know, maybe your Wi-Fi network? that's what's doing the
problem. These are the kinds of incremental improvements that Apple should have been doing over the years, continually improving it, enhancing the reliability, improving the user experience, adding the ability to do multiple drives, not just the boot drive, all these things. Right.
Well, you can do multiple drives, actually. That's no problem.
Yeah. Yeah, the multiple drive thing is there.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And you can even have multiple drives and tell Time Machine, use this one now and this other one later.
No, multiple target drives. I'm talking about multiple source drives.
And you can have multiple source drives, too. You just have to make sure you go into, by default, they're going to be excluded. But if you go into your Time Machine system preferences, Time Machine options.
Oh, you can so you get multiple sources to multiple targets.
Correct.
Oh, good.
But it is only one list. You don't get to say this source to that target. It's all of these sources to all of those targets. It's one pick list is what it is. But you have to go in and remove your external drives from the exclusions list, because most of the time they're going to be added to that. It's not. I'm actually unclear on the science here.
Apple maybe as well.
Yeah, well, somebody's got to know, right?
I always thought it would be nice if Apple did its own RAID box and just had this family backup server, client servers, just a little beautiful white box that Apple sells, and it has hot swappable drives, you know, and then it just backs up your family, all your
Macs.
Really
expensive.
Backs up your everything.
It's worth it. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I own several boxes that serve that purpose, Drobo's and Synology disk stations. Yeah. And if you're using Synology and you want to get geeky, a lot of people, because of the difference between writing locally and writing over the network, a lot of people are using iSCSI on their Synology, which essentially lets you write over the network as though it's a local store, that your computer gets to format the blob of data that's presented via iSCSI, and therefore it doesn't have to do the whole disk image thing. It just writes as a folder. And people say it's way more reliable. So I've been meaning to dig into that too.
That's cool. All right, I'll make sure there's a link to that in the show notes.
Okay, I'll find you something.
Awesome, sweet. Okay, hey, we're out of time, so we're gonna have to wrap up. John, thanks for being here today.
You're very go Broncos. Welcome.
Yeah, and Dave, thank you for being here too.
It was my pleasure,
and it was mine as well. And listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again Monday.